everybody. Praise God indeed. Let's get ready for church. Actually, it is church time. Hope everyone's doing well and having a great week. Let's all stand, if y'all would, please, if you can. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. Anyone on the right side tonight have a spoken prayer request? Yes, Ms. Tabitha. We'll keep them, absolutely. Lift them up in prayer. Lift them up in prayer. A lot of cases. Miss Lori? Absolutely. I saw a post he put out earlier about asking for prayer for him. I didn't realize that he got to that point. Praise God. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight or back in the box? All righty.
Anyone want to call the question?
Yes, sir.
Remember my cousin Randy? He's real well about gout, his foot and ankle, and he's also got walking in my
Absolutely.
Sister Hubs, and her son Junior,
yes.
Had some health problems, and we would like to be praying for both of them, and in fact, for both families.
For the whole family.
And my wife.
And your wife.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'll pray for Ford and for a question. Pray for Ford is all my pre off stuff for my test Friday. Everything went great. My cardiologist gave me clean bill of health, so everything went great. He's been a little good and I've seen that year. They did my COVID test because we got past that before we got anything in the hospital now. So that went fine. I'm clean. No COVID. And just keep me in prayers. I got to prep all day tomorrow and then go into
Absolutely. We're claiming it in His name. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I know the people watching online, you're not able to hear the prayer request, but God knows each and every situation, and we're just going to place it in His hand. And if you have an unspoken prayer request or any others, just show by the raising of your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come together now, may we just be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. May we just turn all of our attention on You, dear Lord, to lift You up, to honor You, and to prepare for the message and that You have for us tonight, dear Lord. We just thank You for Your holy presence, and, dear Lord, for letting us know each and every day and each and every hour and every minute that You are our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, again, we just lift up each and every prayer request to You, those that are going through tests, those that are going through procedures for recovery for those and for those families that are in need, those with pneumonia, the COVID request that's going forth for those tests that are going out. But, dear Lord, we know that You're mightier than anything that's facing us, dear Lord, and we're just placing it in Your hands. Dear Lord, we ask You to be with our pastor and his family. Strengthen them. Be with the young people downstairs, the teens out in the other building. And, dear Lord, again, we just want to honor You and give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 277. I knew we do it a lot on Wednesday nights, but I love this song, Redeemed. Let's all just sing and just lift up the Lord.
I have been redeemed.
Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our offering this evening. Don't forget about Wednesday night, that it's the Good Samaritan offering, and then it goes for such a wonderful purpose. We can also ask, thank the Lord for the many blessings He's given our church and our ministries, but also that He'll take this and just multiply it. Brother Jim, thank you, sir. Would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes. Amen. Special singers and Sister Susan, I'm going to call on you first, then Sister Linda, if you would please. I'd like us to take a moment. I know we have special prayer normally in the beginning of the service and at the end, but I was thinking a lot as just keeping up with the kids and all the back to school stuff and all, but I just want to ask y'all if you would, and I didn't mention it earlier, just my fault, but just keep in prayer all those that are involved with our schools, whether it be the teachers, the cafeteria, the bus drivers. I work with a young lady that's part-time with us, but she's a full-time Cobb County bus driver. And the issues they were going through just yesterday, she was telling me at work that she thought she was through with her route, and she went to the bus barn, and they're turning them all around. They're so short-handed with bus drivers. And she said they were putting 3 kids per seat, just, and they're, you know, trying to find help, trying to get all the kids home from school. And the little story she had about the ones that's completely, the little ones that don't even know which bus to get on and all. So that's just one or two details. But I know we've had, as a group, we prayed for the church, you know, for the children's Sunday. But I'd like us to keep all those involved in school, whether it be from the oldest kids down to the youngest. And like I said, all those involved with administration, and that we just continue to keep them in our prayers. And again, anyone that's watching on our live feed, whether now or at a later date, if you have a prayer request, just write it in the comment category, and we'll gladly pray with you. Praise God. Sister Susan, come on up. And then Sister Linda after that, please.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. Show. since I've been up here. And I think I about forgot how to sing. Y'all pray for me. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cause, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. Oh, I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely one day slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross
the Lord. I thank him for everything he's done for me in the bad times and the good times. Good times outweigh the bad times by far. So I just appreciate everything he's done for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God's so good, isn't he? And he knows exactly what we need, amen, and how to fix things that we don't know how. We have to turn amplifiers on when we don't. Let's do G. See how well prepared I was tonight. This is an old song. Sister Linda's not the only one that knows old songs. I know some old songs myself. This is one Mom and Dad used to sing. Testing. There we go. Houses and land I may not own,
many riches be unknown. A little person in this world I may be. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I'll have a soul some set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Others live on wealth and pride, I'm just poor but satisfied. Great Jehovah owns this world, don't you see? Underneath his loving wing, I'm as happy as a king. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I'll have a soul the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I'll have a soul when the sun sets free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Amen. Isn't Jesus enough? Amen, for every situation. Well, it is so good to know Jesus, amen, and to know that we can trust Him with our very existence, amen, to take care of us. He will supply our needs according to His riches in glory, amen. If we need it, God can supply it, amen. Was thinking this afternoon, how fast time seems to be getting by. It's already August. It's that amazing of 2021. And that to me is amazing, especially when you begin to think back several years ago. And I've got a bad habit of saying, well, that was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And Penny said, no, it was 8 or 7. I said, Lord have mercy, was it that long ago? But you know, time is getting by. But then the thought came to me, I'm just that much closer to heaven. Amen. And that's what I'm looking for. Amen. To be with my Lord and Savior for an eternity. And that's going to be worth every problem, every trial, every situation. Amen. It'll be worth it after all. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. Into the 4th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, verses 1 through 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But we want to touch on the very first part of that particular chapter. Again, from the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, God, that leads us and guides us and directs us every day of our life. Help us to trust you, Lord, and place our faith strongly in your presence. God, we ask you to bless those who are hurting. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. Father, we pray, God, that you would reach out to them and touch them with your healing power. God, I pray for this lost world, too. God, that you would turn hearts back, God, to you. Lord, I pray that you would bring them with to an altar of repentance. God, convict their soul, God, and cause them to come to repentance. Father, I ask, Lord, for revival in the land. Pray, God, that you would reach out and touch each and every one, God, who stands in need of prayer tonight. Be with us now, and Lord, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these precious blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I said, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we talk about so very often. I just want to reminisce a little bit tonight and lay a little groundwork. This was just after Jesus was baptized of John. And when he was baptized, verse number 17 of the third chapter said, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit of God speaking verbally and outwardly so that those around heard it as well, that this was the Son of God, which the Lord, which God was well pleased. And you would think that maybe at this particular point that God had something great in store for Jesus. Maybe a great revival, or maybe the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe the feeding of the 5,000, or one of the other many miracles that Jesus performed at later dates. But it was not so. The Father, who was so well pleased with His Son, sent Him by the Spirit, was led into the wilderness. And, you know, that ought to let us understand and know that God knows best what we need and when we need it. Sometimes we think, may we need the blessing, or we need this experience, or we need this situation. And God says, no, I'm well pleased in you, but here's where I want you to go. I want you to go into the wilderness. For 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible tells us that Jesus fasted. And afterward, He was hungry. And this is where I want to bring my message tonight. If I had a message title, and this has been stirring on my heart all week long. And those of you that have maybe taught or preached, you know, sometimes when God lays a thought on your heart, you don't really know where He's going with it. You certainly don't know where you're going with it. But for this entire week, the balance of the week, that has been on my mind about bread and bread alone. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me with this. You know, what is it that You want me to see into this? So I'm going to try to bring to you tonight how the Lord revealed it to me and how He spoke to my heart. And I guess it would be in the form of a question, bread alone. Is bread alone sufficient? Is bread alone enough? Well, Jesus spoke to the tempter. This is the thing about it. Jesus is led into the Spirit, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Not only was He led in the wilderness, but He was led for a specific reason. And you think about it, God has just spoken, "This is my Son whom I'm well believed, but you know what? Because I love you so much, I'm going to send you into the wilderness. And while you're in the wilderness, we're going to allow the tempter to come and tempt you." We don't always understand where God's going with His direction. Sometimes we think that maybe He's got something good in store for us, but we don't see the good because we got to go through the trial, or we got to go through the temptation, or we got to go through the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. All of this was beneficiary to the flesh of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was God's Son, the Spirit of God, robed in flesh. But how many times do I think that we as Christians and believers and Spirit-filled saints of God, sometimes maybe we don't remember that Jesus was in a body of flesh. I've often said that He was the son of a carpenter. And probably when He was a little boy around with His dad, when Joseph was building something, and you know how little boys are, they're going to pick up a hammer and they're going to pick up a nail. And I've often said, you know, when I was teaching the young people in maybe Sunday school years and years ago, I said, when Jesus hit His thumb, it hurt Him. Many knows that. Sometimes we don't think about that, Him being the Son of God, that He was, free from all of the pain. But that's not the case, because later on in His life, He bore our stripes and He had all of that pain for our iniquities. But when He hit His finger or thumb, and it hurt Him just as bad as anybody else. And the ridicule that He took, the names that He was called, all of that hurt His flesh. But because that the Spirit of God was within Him, He needed this time of temptation. He needed this time of training, if you would, for the flesh. Not the Spirit. The Spirit was well equipped. But the flesh is weak. And so many times that's what we have to go through as children of God. It's not a pleasant situation to have to go into the wilderness, especially to be tempted by the tempter or the devil or Satan. But here we find that Jesus was there. And I want you to understand, and I want you to pay some close attention, because the Bible is so wonderfully written, and it means exactly what it says. And sometimes as we read that, sometimes if you're like me, we kind of overlook certain points. But as Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil never came to him and tempted him. It was after the 40 days and 40 nights, and his flesh began to hunger. If we can get into a spiritual mode with Christ, so intense in our prayer and our fasting and our time of studying the Word of God, Satan sort of backs off, because he knows you are in that special realm of the Spirit. How many is thankful for the protecting power of the Spirit? How many knows what it is sometimes to be caught up so much, whether it be in praise or worship, whether it be in your prayer closet, whether it be in your as your nighttime prayer, or whatever the situation is, when you get into a point where everything else pales around you. You're not thinking about tomorrow, you're not thinking about issues, even you're not even thinking about the pain that's in your body, you're caught up in the Spirit. Those are the times that Satan says, back off, you know, I'm not going to touch that, because they're so on fire for God. But then afterward, and how many knows that so many times after a mighty move of God, the flesh begins to tire a little bit. I've often said this, that some of the greatest night's sleep I've ever had has been after a mighty moving of the Holy Ghost. When you leave here, you know, you're so excited and everything is just wonderful as the Lord blesses and anoints. And then you get home and you're retiring and your body is just, or my body, let me speak from experience, is just so limp and just so desirous of rest that most of the time I'm asleep before the light goes out, just about that fast, because it's such a wonderful rest, because the flesh has to have that rest. So this is when the time that Satan came around, when the flesh began to tell the Spirit, you know what, 40 days and 40 nights, it's time to eat. I'm hungry. And there was no food there. Now I want you to see something else here that the Lord sort of revealed to him, and maybe you've seen it before. But Jesus was there, and the tempter came, and he knew that Jesus was hungry, and it was his flesh that was desiring the food, not necessarily the Spirit. The Spirit was full after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, amen. And you say, Brother Eddie, how in the world can that be? Because when the flesh is weak, that's when the Spirit is strong, amen. So the Spirit that was within him was really, really fortified and strengthened by that relationship with Almighty God, the words of God, that what he's going to talk about, the word that came from God, that's what he was feasting on. But when his flesh began to say, you know what, I'm weak and I'm hungry and I need some food, Satan looked at the stones, and here's the thing, he knew Jesus could turn those stones into bread. Sometimes Satan believes more in the power of God than a lot of folks do. Because many times he says, Lord, what am I going to do? There's nothing to go. I don't have anything to eat. I don't have anything. Lord, the situation is really dire. But Satan looked at that and so he knew that the Lord had the power to speak to those stones, and those stones would become bread. So that's what he tempted him with. Now, many times I think a lot of people probably envision this being with horns and a forked tail and maybe a pitchfork sitting there on a rock talking to Jesus, and that's the way they want to envision that. But to me, I don't even think that Satan was there in a bodily form, because I know that Satan has spoke to me before. I know he has tempted me before, and I've never visually seen him. But there is something undeniable, and I will tell you, sometimes it's nothing than a cold chill that'll come over me when that tempter begins to speak, when that doubt and that fear begins to shake my very faith, or the very foundation on which we stand, which is the Word of God. And then we know without a shadow of a doubt, that's Satan. He's coming against me. I didn't visually see him, but I felt him coming against me. And he begins to place these thoughts into your heart and into your mind. Negative thoughts. thoughts that you can't go another step, and thoughts that God doesn't care about you, and God's not listening to you because you've been this way or you've been that way. And every bit of that is deceitful tricks of the adversary, the devil. So he recognizes the weak part of Jesus, which was the flesh. Thank God that his spirit was stronger than his flesh. That's what I'm striving to be. I want that spirit within me to be way, way stronger than the flesh. But he picked up on that Jesus was hungry. And he made those stones, I think, look like a rounded loaf of fresh baked bread. You know how round stones are sometimes. Jesus saw that. But very quickly he realized this is a trick of Satan. This is for him to try to get me off of my spiritual needs onto my natural needs, onto what the flesh wants. And listen, folks, God understands and knows that our flesh has needs. In fact, he tells us that he will supply our needs. But never, ever let us get to a point where our physical or fleshly needs supersede or override the spiritual needs that we have. Sometimes it is a wilderness. Sometimes it is a temptation when the tempter comes against us, because he's attacking the weak part of man. He's attacking the flesh. He's attacking my mind. He's attacking those things that we worry over or we fret over. But listen what Jesus says. He says, "It is written." One of the greatest tools, one of the greatest weapons that you can counteract the tempter, when he comes at you, is the Word of God. God has equipped us with a shield of faith, with a helmet of salvation, with a breastplate of righteousness, shod with the preparation of the gospel. And he's also given us a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is in fact his Word. The very fact that Jesus recognized Satan coming against him, trying to entice his flesh, he hit him back with the Word. The Word will always counteract anything that Satan comes against us with. That's the reason it is so important, so vital, that we as Christians know the Word, familiar with the Word, and use the Word. Use the power of the Word of God that God has instilled in our hearts. The Bible tells us to write them on the tables of your heart. Be prepared, because sometimes maybe you can't find the Bible readily, but you can bring that Word up. And Jesus immediately spoke to him, Deuteronomy 8:3. As the children of God, or the children of Israel, were about to enter into Canaan land, and God was telling Moses to remind them of how I've taken care of them. You know, a lot of times we think that the children of Israel were in the wilderness because they were lost. No, they were in the wilderness that long because it took God that long, amen, to straighten them out. 40 years. Amen. That's a long time. Why? Because they was a stiff-necked people. Why? Because 400 years they'd been in captivity and not been able to practice the law and the Word of God like they needed to when they were in their homeland. So they needed this time of learning, of direction, amen, for God to lead them and guide them and direct them. And in Deuteronomy 8:3, he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So what Jesus hungered, Satan thought, well, I can get him off the Word of God. I can get him off the Spirit and get him more concerned about his flesh. And tonight I want to bring this analysis or this type and shadow. Let's don't think about the bread as the natural baked bread that you and I are familiar with. Let's think about the bread as anything that entices the flesh and causes the flesh to desire that more than the written Word of God. And it can be a number of things. And you can fill in the blank. Satan uses so many things that he can tempt us with. What one person may be tempted with, another person might not have any problem whatsoever. Say, no, I have no part of that. But if Satan can recognize one thing in our life that the flesh desires, and most of the time it's when we are at our weakest point in our flesh. When our flesh maybe it's got just that little bit of doubt or that little bit of fear. And we've often said, it's a lot easier for me to believe for your healing than it is for my healing. Why is that? Because it's my flesh that's hurting now. It's my flesh that's weak now. It's my flesh that needs a touch from God. And sometimes Satan places a little bit of doubt and fear in there. And you know, when he comes, we need to say, no, wait a minute. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the stripes that he took were for my healing. And I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're a liar. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. So he comes at Jesus with this desire. Just go ahead and turn those stones into bread. Go ahead and give your flesh what it needs. But this was not a time in the wilderness to appease the flesh. And I would dare say that there's times in my life when it's not a time to appease the flesh. Not to do what I want to do. Not to do what I feel like doing. But do what the Lord would have me to do. In decision making, in prayer and study, in bringing messages, whatever the case may be. Lord, the Word is what we need. The Word of God is what will strengthen our spirit, regardless of how weak our flesh may get. So he says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, first of all, if you are who you say you are. Does that sound familiar? Satan's been using that kind of analogy for years and years and years. See if this doesn't sound familiar. If God really loved you, then he wouldn't let you suffer like this. If God really cared for you, he would answer your prayer and give you the desires of your heart, exactly what you wanted, whenever you want it. God doesn't love you. He's not concerned about you. He's too busy. Now, they're all lies from the hell. They're all lies from the devil. And, you know, unfortunately, they work a lot of times when he comes against people and says, you know what? Them people don't care about you. Pastor don't care about you. Church don't care about you. And God don't even care about you. And the first thing you know, our flesh is just so down. But you know what? Man does not live by bread alone. And I'm thinking in my spirit this week, when God brought it to my recollection or to my mind, that we see people today that are so concerned with their physical needs, their material needs, that they're not even regarding what spiritual needs they need in their life. Because why else would the Bible say, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what would it profit a man? There would be no profit. The main thing that we have to know and we have to abide by is to make sure that our spirit is right. Our flesh is weak. The flesh knows it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is not going to the kingdom of God. We're going to get a new body, a glorified body. But that soul of man will live on and on and on. It never dies. And that's what we got to really, really guard. We got to protect that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough. First of all, think about the loneliness that Jesus was. Here he was, obeying God, and the first thing sends him right into the wilderness. Lord, why do you want me to do this? God, why am I at this point in my life? This is not what I plan to be. This is not where I plan to be. But you know what? God, I want to live by every spoken word that you'll just speak to me. Speak the word, Lord. And then the words that we need to understand and know. Why is the word so important? It's so important because the Bible tells us in the book of John, in the very first chapter of the book of John, let me get over there. In the beginning, what's the beginning? Before anything else. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word of God. So many times we refer to this, and it is the written Word of God. But God's Word has been from the very beginning. And that's what we need in our lives. That's what we need to rely on. I want a Word from God. I want to hear from God. I need to hear from God on a daily basis. I can't go a long time without hearing from God. And you know what? He's there and readily available. Thank God, amen, that old veil was torn in half and give us access, amen, to come right in to the throne of grace and hear and understand the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. is synonymous. And then it goes on to the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what we need, the life of the spoken word of God. So Jesus says, you know what? I could turn these into bread. I could satisfy the flesh. But that alone is not going to sustain me. And here's the wonderful thing. In Deuteronomy 8:3, when God reminded Moses to tell the people about how He had taken care of them, and He also said, I fed you with manna. That manna that came down from heaven. You see, the bread part is not the most important part with our relationship with God, because God can provide that, and God will provide for that. But the first and foremost thing He wants us to do is live on the written word of God and on His spoken word of God. Nourish our soul. Nourish that spirit. Be led by the Spirit, because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. And what did He say? This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. I look and see the world today, and if the world could be as concerned about their inner self as they are about their flesh, because people today seemingly are never satisfied, and I'm talking in general. I'm not talking about everybody. Thank God there's some that knows that the most important thing that we can ever do is ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, to be Lord and Savior, to make sure that we're preparing for eternity. But a lot of folks are not preparing for eternity. They're preparing for a better life down here. So they're saying, I can live on bread only. And understand, I'm not talking about just the loaf of bread. I'm talking about I can live on the things that appease the flesh. What does the world do today in the marketing thing? It's guided right toward the flesh. How it can make your life better, how it make you feel better, how it can make you look better, and all of these things like that. But you know what? As we live for the Lord and know that if we put our faith and trust in Him, He will supply the natural things that we need. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, we have account after account after account in the Bible how that God protected and took care of His people. The little woman with the meal barrel, you know, if you think about it, there it was, her last meal. I mean, she was going to make that meal for her and her son, and they were going to die. They were just, there was nothing else to be had. And then here comes a prophet of God by, and he says, well, what you're doing, that's fine, but first make me a cake. And she did. But you know what? God just took care of that. Why? Because she was more concerned about the spirit than she was about the flesh. When we get more concerned about our relationship with the Lord as we are about Him making a way for our flesh and for our situations and all, God will do that. You know, He'd ask us to live by faith and walk by faith. And if we're constantly worrying about the fleshly parts or the natural things or the material things, it pushes out that desire that we need to fill up the spiritual man that's within us. And God has really spoke to my heart this week about being more concerned about my spiritual walk and less concerned about my natural walk. Because I believe if we do the things that we're supposed to do and walk in the Spirit, God will take care of the natural part. He'll take care of the material things. He will bless us. Amen. But we got to understand that man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by, and you say, you know, money alone. He doesn't live by finances alone. He doesn't live by natural things alone. All of that is part of it. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, Brother Eddie, how do you know that God's talking to you? He's talking to us. So many times, it's like the radio. You know, we used to think, you know, if you turn the radio off, whoever was on the radio just shut up. But he's still talking. We just turned him off. But God is speaking to us, and He'll speak to us on a daily basis if we'll listen and open up our ears, our spiritual ears, and be led by the Spirit of God. May God bless you, church. I love you so very much. I appreciate you. And I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight. I know you people are very faithful. But it is alarming to see the desires of the world today. A lot of times, a walk with God is not even on their heart and on their mind. You see it in everyday life. You people around you, it used to be you just heard about it, but now it's a I don't know. It's a no care attitude, not unconcerned. Maybe that's the right word. People are seemingly unconcerned about where they're going to spend eternity, and scripture rings over and over and over. What will it profit a man should he gain the whole world? And you give some people a choice today. Had you rather gain the whole world, or you'd rather gain a walk with the Lord? Unfortunately, a lot of those people would opt for the worldly goods, and that's what's so concerning, I think, to Christians and to people, to know that none of this is going to matter. I said, you know, talking about time passing, we're one day closer to heaven. Amen. That's just going to be one day closer to leaving behind all these things. I don't want to have to turn back to say, Lord, wait a minute, let me take this because I'm not going to need it. I honestly believe that everything that we're ever going to have need for is already prepared for us in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us more than I could ever explain to us. His mercy, His grace is overwhelming, and it is amazing. Amen. Do you love Jesus tonight? We love you. We thank you, amen, for being here tonight, for coming out on a Wednesday night. I appreciate you so very much. May God bless you. Do remember these people that are in prayer, and remember our nation as it once again begins to fight these situations that come. And I can't help but think that's a lot of fear from the adversary as well. He's learned that fear works, and he's coming against us. But you know what? Faith overcomes fear. Amen. Faith is greater than any fear that Satan can bring against us. If you stand tonight, if any of you need prayer, please come forward. We still believe in praying. The Bible says if you're sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. They'll be delivered. Amen. How many is thankful that we have a delivering God to serve? Anyone tonight? Well, may God bless you. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May you have a wonderful evening. And do remember, my wife, she's in there, but the shots that she's been taking for her feet and all, the doctor said no more. So this next step is surgery. So she's going to have to go take an MRI and get ready for surgery. And she didn't probably want me to tell you that, but I want to tell you that because I believe in your prayers, and I know you're going to hold her up in prayer. So let's pray for Sister Penny as we...
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we prepare. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for His Word and for his message that comes forth to us. He knows exactly what we need. And so many other prayer requests that have gone forth. You know those that are in our text blast. You see some on the screen. We have a prayer box here too that we'd like to continue to keep those situations in prayer. And the hands that were raised tonight, God knows each and every one. All hearts and minds clear. Anybody need prayer this evening? All righty. For you watching right now with us or at a later date, just please, just enter in the comment section your prayer request, and we'll definitely pray with you because we believe Almighty God. That precious blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And as we get ready to close with this prayer, let's just be in much prayer for our revival coming up. As we mentioned, it's going to be a wonderful time. I know as they announced Sunday, there's other churches involved. And anyone that's watching, and I think they've got something that way they can see it, the dates and all. As they're watching, I see a head nodding, yes. Thank y'all for. And I just want to thank those in the booth, the technology, and Lord blessing us with so much talent that they're so dedicated. They're here before service. They're here during practices working the mics. And the other ones that are doing so much work and beautification here around the church. We just thank God for each and every one of you. We love you. All righty. Well, as we dismiss, let's again, the spoken prayer request, and we're adding Miss Penny to it too also, so. God knows what we need, and I know Miss Tabitha's been in our prayer list, and her and Brother Chris, and I know God's got them in their hands. Got great work planned for them. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be at a feast on your word. Lord, for that freedom we have, dear Lord, not only to have your word in our hands, dear Lord, to be able to carry it with us, whether it be and no matter where it is, situation, the paper versions or the online. But, dear Lord, we thank you for your word being in our hearts and in our spirit. Dear Lord, may we open up and listen to you. Lord, may let you minister to us in our time of need. But also minister us, dear Lord, in our daily walk. Lord, guide us Steer us in the right direction, dear Lord. Open those doors that you chose for us to be opened for us. Close those doors that are getting in our way, dear Lord, and may we just put you first in everything that we do. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for this prayer that's gone forward. We know that you're touching each and every one. Lord, we know that you're greater than arthritis and bursitis and all the situations. Lord, we know that you're greater than the COVID. You're greater than the pneumonias, the flus, all the situations going forth. And, dear Lord, we do pray for our country now. Dear Lord, may this fear be removed, and, dear Lord, may our faith in you be put first. Lord, we're giving you all the honor, but, dear Lord, we're stepping out on faith. And, dear Lord, we just want your word to be spread. Use us, dear Lord. Let us be those vessels you can use. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful rest of the week. And for those having tests coming up, we're just going to keep them in our prayers.